Welcome to the MEP podcast, where we'll be exploring the intersection of sport and spirituality through a variety of practices that ultimately invite us to learn, grow, and connect. I believe that through movement and mindfulness, we can create awareness within that will allow us to integrate as individuals and also connect more deeply with our community and environment. You may have gotten to know this podcast as Into the Well over the last couple of years, but it's very much a continuation and evolution of what I've been sharing, with a little bit more of a focus on our inner development through the lens of the physical and emotional body. I hope you'll stay with me and dive into MEP together as we move forward on this journey. Welcome to the first episode of MEP, the Mindful Endurance Program. As you might have gathered from the new intro, new artwork, Instagram and things, I've decided to evolve Into the Well into MEP. And I've shared a little bit of this process on Instagram and on Substack, but really just looking to find a new platform that I can really focus everything that I want to through one canon, through one brand. And really that's going to be including content, experience, and product. So there's going to be a lot more on all of those fronts coming soon, which I'm super excited about. And I realized in the intro, I don't actually sound that excited. So I'm probably going to have to re-record a new version of that in the coming weeks. But I'm just really excited for what's to come, what is coming, what's already happened, and some of the projects that are underway coming for later this year, some for next year as well on the product front that I'm just super stoked for. So this will be the first episode of the new season under the MEP title. And I've got some great guests already recorded, a couple getting lined up. And it's just going to be, you know, a really interesting and hopefully engaging evolution from what I was doing with Into the Well into this new platform. There'll be a very slight sort of refocus or maybe edited direction in terms of, you know, a little bit more on the sport and mindfulness and spirituality and movement practice. You know, my hope really overall is to use movement as a medium for growth in the individual, connection with ourselves, and growth and connection with our community and Mother Earth as well. So I just, you know, I found myself actually really not into the mindful athlete sort of title, which a lot of people were sort of labeling onto myself. And with Into the Well, I wanted it to be so vague and, you know, be able to talk to a scientist or a doctor, but then also a shaman or a, you know, just a variety of people, I guess. And I've sort of accepted the mindful athlete thing as just a good way to communicate what I'm doing and then allow for lots of space on the back end to explore all sorts of avenues and ways to integrate this work and path, which is really exciting. So yeah, MEP, Mindful Endurance Program. Welcome, and I hope you'll continue with me if you've been here before. Welcome if you're new. Please share with anyone you think might be interested otherwise, but definitely excited for some of the guests coming up on this soon. I've got my first professional cyclists, some really great people in the movement space, some other athletes that are doing cool things, and some of the people I'm collaborating with as well on retreats and workshops that I'm really excited to dive into. So this first episode, you know, I probably should have recorded some time ago, but for whatever reason, and probably many reasons, I didn't. But I really wanted to start off the MEP series here, kind of reflecting on my road to 70.3. So probably about 14 months ago, maybe even 16 months ago now, I committed to doing a half Ironman triathlon, and I had never done a triathlon before. I'd only started cycling a couple months before that and really never spent any time swimming properly. So I knew I was in for an adventure, probably some ups and downs. And ultimately my goal and hope was to tackle this race and this goal with a sense of sustainability. Like, how could I do triathlon for the next 20 years versus how can I do one race and then never go back to it? And there's so many lessons along the way, you know, through some bike crashes, through some, you know, really bumping up against my own issues with taking on a lot of carbs and, you know, having gels that are just pure sugar for the most part. And after being like very stubbornly in the intermittent fasting and ketogenic leaning sort of diet, that was quite interesting. So, you know, just navigating the time, how disciplined can you be? How can you manage swimming, cycling, and running for 8 to 12 hours a week? And, you know, some people I tell that to, they're like, oh my God, that's so much. How do you do that? And then I'm like, pros or even like to high-end amateurs are doing this 20 hours a week, you know, and it's like, and at a much higher threshold than I'm doing. One of the biggest learnings along the way for me was how bad of condition my nervous system is in. And that came up early on in the journey, actually, about a year ago. And I was just like, wow, I actually need to stop training how I've been training and just do yoga, meditate. I went on a pure vegetarian diet for about 2 months as well and just really tried to take my foot off the gas. You know, continue to take care of myself, but in a much more nourishing, gentle, soft way. And I think for me, that was probably a turning point in just how I've been approaching life. You know, this concept of surrender, letting go of control. And then seeing the sort of results of that be, you know, sort of counterintuitive to how a lot of us have been conditioned. You know, if you want to perform well, you need to do a lot, work hard. But ultimately, through surrendering that side of my movement practice and really leaning into yoga, the sort of lighter diet, you know, the sort of gentler yin nourishment, I really was able to gain a lot more strength, create a much more stable foundation of health. And ultimately, any of these sort of more endurance pursuits need to be you know, rooted in a foundation of health. Otherwise, we are just going to run into injuries, burnout, nervous system, adrenal fatigue, all sorts of issues can come from that. So I felt like for the most part, okay, I've got a good foundation of health. Now, how can I layer on some, you know, more ambitious performance goals? But pretty quickly realizing, while my eating and sleeping and movement has been good and consistent, and there is a good element of that health foundation, my nervous system has just been in a chronic state of fight or flight for years, essentially. At least 6 to 8 years, I would say. And almost increasingly so. And, you know, this sort of drive to do and achieve and figure it out or biohack it or find the supplement that works, ultimately just adding more stress to that pile, really, and creating more separation from my own experience and my experience in my body and my heart and my nervous system and all this stuff. So around that time as well, I started working with the acupuncturist in LA, and I really hope that I'm going to be able to convince him to come on the podcast, because he's been a great teacher, mentor, friend, and ally in terms of this evolution of my relationship with my nervous system and introducing me to a lot of the more Eastern arts, I guess, of Taoism, alchemy, Neigong, Qigong, Tai Chi, things like this, which I've really dove into a lot in the last 6 months, especially Neigong and sort of Taoism and Taoist internal alchemy and things like this, which you know, continue to just blow me away. And I'll kind of get back into that a little bit later in the episode here. So all that to say, you know, I set out on this goal for Ironman 70.3. And originally I was planning on doing it in December of last year. And just through timing of race seasons moving around and whatnot, I ended up having to push it from doing it in Indian Wells to doing it in Oceanside on April 2nd of this year. So, you know, actually that worked out great for me because I was sick at the end of October and it really knocked me back in terms of my just momentum and fitness and health. And I wasn't really feeling that great actually November. And then into December, I finally started to feel a bit more healthy. And that's really when I recommitted to the training plan. So getting a solid 3.5 months after a pretty light sort of base building year, I would say. Not something I would look at and be like, wow, that was like a great year of crushing it. But it was after doing almost no cardio for the last 4 years after my ACL injury and doing a lot more mobility, strength, gym type of stuff. I was kind of starting from scratch with running, definitely starting from scratch with cycling and really with swimming, which is even more technique based and challenging for me anyways. That said, it gave me a lot more appreciation for doing sports that are on dry land and just how easy it is to breathe while you're riding a bike or running. And so it brought like an element of lightness and enjoyment to any time I was not in the pool and no opportunity for drinking a mouthful of pool water. But yeah, so in December, I recommitted. I just did a program through Training Peaks. I debated getting a coach or working with somebody. And ultimately, I was like, you know what? I just need to be disciplined. I need to have the structure and I need to commit to this myself. I'm not about to like break any records. And even though I had ideas or loose dreams of qualifying for like the Ironman 70.3 World Championships in an age group category, I kind of realized that that was probably not likely as well. So it was a process of letting go of these goals. My one goal that I did hang on to up until race day was trying to go under 5 hours on this race. And I'll get back into that as well. But yeah, you know, I decided like this was such a personal journey and I didn't need a coach, you know, to perform at the level I was at. I really just needed to put in consistent work. Throughout this time as well, it was a bit of up and down with my knee, which is still not 100%, but has been getting better, I will say. So I want to say maybe now it's at like 85%, 90%, you know, on a good day. I go on some runs now where I don't even think about it and I'm not in pain. But there's a lot of runs, especially throughout last year, where there's pain and discomfort and muscular imbalance between my two legs, a lack of sort of trust landing on my left leg and how much my knee is able to, you know, flex and take cushion. And then that of course affects like how all the other things around it engage and work. So there's certainly work to be done there, but it feels like it's as good as it's ever been now at this point. And even before the run, it was feeling as probably good as it had been at that point as well. So I felt optimistic come race time. So yeah, kind of looking at these few months leading up to the race, you know, this is probably not the typical half Ironman protocol that most people follow. But for me, for a handful of reasons, I decided to, you know, the timing sort of worked out coincidentally, but essentially what I did was over these 3 months, 3.5 months, I had this parallel journey of 3 DMT ceremonies alongside my training building up to the race. And not something that I think too many triathletes are necessarily doing or integrating to their training. And it's not like I was like, okay, I'm going to do DMT for triathlon. But as a human being with a consciousness, soul, and spirit, flesh and blood and skin, heart and energy pulsing through me, you know, everything is connected. You can't do one thing that's not going to affect something else. So I just found it an interesting parallel in hindsight as I committed to the race over these 3.5 months that it also happened to time right up with these 3 DMT ceremonies. And, for those of you that have never experienced DMT or even psychedelics, you know, other psychedelics like ayahuasca have a DMT in it, but DMT is very strong and the journey is very short, relatively speaking. You know, it can be somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes. And you generally inhale this through like a vaporizer or a pipe. It's like a, almost like a crystallized, substance that you smoke essentially, in that way. And you inhale it and hold on to it. And, you know, depending on how much you take on, take in and hold in, it's really impossible to describe basically what the experience of this medicine is like, but, just trying to think about it. The only thing I can really say is that you have certainly an opportunity to feel everything, almost like you can feel in every cell of your body, and experience that vibration. And then something comes through. It can be a deep emotional welling. It could be purging, i.e. throwing up, crying, screaming, yelling, apparently singing as well, as I discovered. So for me, the first one that I did was deeply purgative. I was almost just screaming and puking, quite a darkness, I would say, you know, and anything that's probably coming up in a DMT ceremony, there's a good chance you have no idea like what's going to come, like you do not know what's going to come up basically. So, you know, it's actually quite terrifying to surrender, especially at a bigger dose, and just allow whatever to come up. You know, it's just like a complete super consciousness experience. Your mind and ego really, you know, they need to surrender, but they're also forced to take a back seat. And, you know, both of those things are terrifying for most people walking around today. So that happened. And then the next one was even more dark and more purgative. And you know, it's also beautiful. It feels extremely liberating. It's like your whole nervous system is getting steam cleaned. Your whole energy system is getting steam cleaned from the inside out. You feel light. You feel clear. You know, if you ever question, like, who am I? You know, coming out of these ceremonies, there is a crystal clear clarity around who you are, you know, what you are, love, smiling, joy, just exuding from myself and other people I witnessed go through these ceremonies as well. And so then my last ceremony ended up being about a week before my race. And overall, you know, I feel very fortunate. My training was, I wasn't able to really go for it. You know, I've been very sensitive and try to attune to my nervous system where I'm at. I have an aura ring and I track my sleep and use that as sort of a guide or training wheels as well to watch the system and how things are, you know, how I'm adapting to training in this. I was aware, like, okay, I'm training, you know, 10 hours a week, give or take. And I felt good. I was able to do that. But let's just say there was a 2.5 hour run. I was like, you know, I just, due to being busy and also just the energy levels I could feel, I was like, this should probably be an hour and a half run or a 3 hour bike, maybe a 2 hour bike. Or, you know, I was doing the first MEP running workshops on Sundays, around 10 or 11 AM start time. And so Sundays on my training schedule were generally like long brick workouts. So I wasn't really doing the hard, like 3 hour bike followed by a 1 hour run. I was kind of breaking it up more and getting close to the time on, you know, time on the bike or time on running, but really not doing the workout at the sort of capacity that I should have been. And, you know, that showed up on the race for me for sure. But I also feel grateful that I I got more training in consistently because I was able to take, you know, release control on doing the entire workout rather than overworking and then having to take a few days off to recover or something like that. All that to say, you know, the few weeks leading up to the race, everything went pretty well. I felt pretty good physically, emotionally. I didn't get sick or anything like that. Honestly, like probably the most fearful I've been of COVID was those few weeks leading up, because I just know like if I would have got sick and gotten like, you know, symptoms of the sort of flu like symptoms, and they would just really would have derailed my training and would have been a huge bummer, really. Certainly not the end of the world. So I do feel really grateful. I was a healthy through those weeks leading up to the race. And then that final week before, I was like, okay, this feels like an opportunity to do this third session with the DMT, which it really felt like a set of three for something. There's this really powerful triangulation energy and a lot of things that were going on in my life. And so, yeah, I really was feeling called to that. And so I went into that. I invited my partner, Natalie, as well, who is pregnant with our son on the way. And so for some reason, I just really felt like I wanted her to be there and him to be there. And, you know, I was really grateful that she was willing to be there and hold space and witness me in this experience as well. So it was really special. It was something I'll never forget, that's for sure. I was doing a lot of work as well between these sessions, like a lot of deep meditation, working with my therapist, a lot of integration, journaling, processing anger, sadness, you know, a lot of stuff. Like I've really been quite committed to my inner work, I would say, these last 8 months, 10 months, on a level maybe deeper than I ever have been before, which certainly I find anytime you're doing any sort of ceremonies or deep dives, could be with breath work, could be with plant medicines. Anytime you really like are committed to the space between those ceremonies or before and after, it just, you get so much more out of that experience. And yeah, so that's been the case for me. And over this time, really diving into a lot of Taoism and internal arts, a lot of teachings from Adam Misner and Damo Mitchell, and understanding like Qi and the different types of energy systems and these sort of old Chinese Taoist philosophy of letting go, you know, of Wu Wei, of non-governance, of surrender, of listening and releasing. And so listening, releasing has been a huge theme for me in this last 6 to 8 months for sure. And I'm really excited to dive deeper into this, that sort of work as well. So, you know, the thing is though, with this inner work, the deeper you get, the more we are sort of unconsciously clinging on to these patterns or these beliefs or these parts of ourselves that are, you know, buried deep in there. Ultimately as like protective mechanisms we've created to keep ourselves safe. So, you know, another piece I've really lent into or leaned into is like, for so much of my journey here, I've like felt this tension and I like want this thing out of me or whatever this discomfort is in my stomach or whatever it is. And to shift that perspective to be like, okay, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for protecting me. You know, it's not really working anymore. So maybe we can find a way to move forward and sort of let go of some of these defense mechanisms, but also having a lot of gratitude because, you know, these parts of ourselves, these ways that we grow to be, you know, we've developed for this need to be safe, to feel safe in our environments, in our lives, in our bodies, in our families, in our homes, whatever it is, for whatever reason. And, you know, we basically all do it. I don't think anyone does not do this on some level. And there's obviously a wide variety of ways that we do it. But the deeper we get into unpacking these things and letting them go, the harder they are to integrate or dislodge in a way. So going into this final DMT ceremony, I was so nervous, because really what my intention was to just feel as much as I can. You know, I've become aware of my fear of feeling, and that obviously, you know, probably comes more from feeling pain and hurt, but also as you take away that polarity, you're not able to feel joy. And, you know, I guess like I've internalized this belief, or at least had in the past, that it's not safe to feel sadness and express sadness. It's not safe to feel anger and express anger. And so then on the opposite side of that, you aren't able to access and feel joy, you know, and those types of emotions. And as I look forward to the birth of my first child and this little boy, I was almost getting terrified of experiencing that amount of love and joy, seeing him born and holding him or kissing him or just looking into his eyes, you know, for the first time or for the next 20 years or whatever. That was almost just as scary as feeling sadness completely through my body. So going into the ceremony, my intention really was to feel, just feel everything. And boy, did I feel everything. It was, you know, it's always an unexpected journey, that's for sure. But this was especially unexpected. And it was one of the most like dynamic ceremonies I've had in this kind of space. So I started off and it just kind of eventually started making some noise, which went into basically a song type of expression, like singing at the top of my lungs and just like flying, just unbelievable freedom and expression like I have not been able to do for whatever reason, maybe forever, or at least since I was a little kid. And that was just unbelievable. And then it sort of transitioned into a deep sort of young part of myself, inner child, that had just internalized just so much sadness. And it was just like unloading this well of sadness, this old tears is the only way I can describe it. And just feeling honestly like a toddler, like an infant, like a little boy in that moment, just fully feeling that. And there's one part that's been kind of like a funny joke that's come from the ceremony. You know, in this part of it, like the effects aren't quite as strong. So there's a little bit, you know, the gaps or cracks in the door for the ego mind to kind of come back in and try and make sense of what's going on or figure it out. And I remember my mind just being like, oh, this is what's happening. Like, what is this? And then, you know, some part of my like wiser self was just like, shut up, you're a little boy. And just like shut the door back on that figuring out mind. And I just fully experienced being a little sad boy with my face just scrunched up, tearing, just crying tears into this bucket, and eventually doing some purging as well and coming out of it and, you know, being witnessed by Natalie and the two practitioners, these two women. It was just, you know, the experience itself was unbelievable to feel that deeply on both sides of the polarity and to be held and witnessed in that space by these three powerful, beautiful women as well, that feminine energy. This deep feminine energy was totally reintegrated into myself through this ceremony, which I only realized kind of in the coming weeks afterwards. But it just felt unbelievable. It was amazing. It was one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had. And so then the week after this, you know, another a pretty light week on training, but there was such a lightness in my body that was so interesting. I found myself doing similar workouts and running like a half minute faster pace over 6, 8, 10, 12 kilometers, more effortlessly. And I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. You know, and I didn't really think like the DMT ceremony was going to help me perform better. My only sort of intention around that was really whatever I'm holding on to or carrying that I don't need to carry through this 5 hours of intensity, I'll let go in this ceremony. And just like whatever that was going to be, at least I wouldn't have to carry that through that experience. And what ended up, you know, I ended up feeling better physically than I have in years and years, and emotionally as well. And so leading up to the race, I really was feeling in a good place. Definitely still nervous. You know, it was a huge unknown. I never swam, cycled, and ran that distance before. I definitely knew I didn't have the muscular endurance that I maybe hoped to have or would need to have to perform at the level I would like to, and kind of felt at peace with that. And I still had like the 5 hour goal that I was aiming for, but didn't feel so attached to it, I guess. And so race day came down in Oceanside. For me, everything was like very smooth, accommodation, travel, no technical problems, bike problems, anything like that. And, you know, just quite nervous, especially for the ocean swim, super dark, pretty wavy. I had pretty tinted glasses, so I definitely feel like I zigzagged myself through the ocean and didn't, I'm just not a very good swimmer, and I didn't, you know, I did okay on the swim given just the amount of training that I had on it. But I was grateful for it to be over for sure, and excited for just the biking and the running. So it was a pretty hilly bike course. But beautiful landscape, you know, pretty temperate climate, I guess, like a little bit overcast. So it wasn't like scorching hot or anything like that. And I really enjoyed the bike. And definitely the last 5-10K or 5-10 miles of the 56 miles, there was a headwind. I was getting sore and I was like ready to be off the bike at that point. But even still, I was enjoying myself. And felt like, okay, I'm not necessarily crushing it, but I feel pretty good here. And I think in hindsight, I realized like I just never did much threshold training on the bike. So I feel like there's a huge opportunity for me there as my nervous system has more capacity to get pushed and then also recover. There's a massive potential for me to increase my power on the bike. So that's exciting on one level. And it was really through the race that I was able to see that and feel that. Cause I, you know, I didn't push it crazy hard for the most part on the bike. Cause I was just like really unsure of, you know, after riding a bike for 56 miles, how is running 13 miles going to feel? I just didn't know. And coming off the bike, I felt pretty good on the run. I did a half marathon a couple months earlier, and wasn't totally dissimilar in terms of for about 2/3 of the race up to about kilometer 14, 15, feeling quite good. And then just really starting to hit a wall. And I think really that's where that my muscular endurance piece, just I didn't do enough long runs. I didn't do enough tempo work. And without that sort of training or else just like a really consistent 10-year, you know, base of aerobic training, which I just also don't have, then that's when I'm going to run into trouble. And that's kind of what happened on the run. I was going at a pretty decent pace, you know, especially the first half. And then the third quarter was okay. And then really the last quarter of the run was like pretty slow and relatively painful. And I finished the whole thing in 5 hours and 22 minutes. So not really that close to my goal. Definitely nowhere near age group qualification for world championships. But overall, just like really enjoyed the experience. You know, I remember distinctly out there on the course, just thinking like, wow, I really am getting to live life, you know, to have the experience of something like DMT, to then do a half Ironman, to, you know, be getting ready to be a father, starting my own business, launching this new brand MEP, lead some workshops in LA now. You know, I've also been taking this performance breathwork course through Hale, And I just feel so grateful and blessed that I have the opportunity and, you know, capacity as well to put myself into these positions and experiences where I can really experience life. And that's something that's really become part of the forefront of, I guess, my own focus of living day to day, is just like being in the experience. You know, ultimately, like the time of the Ironman race doesn't matter at all. Nobody will ever care about my time. Nobody will ever even care about like the people who won's time. It's just all we have is the experience. You know, everything else is a memory or a future thought, or it's like a piece of data on a computer or a piece of paper or something. You know, all we have is the experience that we're having. And so just to be in that and enjoy it and experience it to the fullest. And for that, you also, you need to feel, right? So for me, it's like bringing on more feeling, less thinking. That offers the opportunity for me to truly engage in the experience more holistically. And that's really what I'm hoping to do. And, you know, that really dovetails with a lot of the sort of Taoism and thinking there of like Wu Wei and Zen, and just like surrendering to the natural state of the world, the natural harmony of our bodies, you know, non-governance. So you're engaged, right? You're moving, you're flowing with the flow, but you're not trying to stop the flow or direct the flow. You're just, you know, riding along with it and experiencing it. And so that's been a huge shift. And that really sort of ties together like my more recent sort of dive into this Neigong and Taoist philosophy and internal arts, which I think is so cool. And I'm excited for the next years because this is like a multi-year thing. And even for me, you know, it's much easier to commit to something for a couple of weeks, months, or even a year, but to commit to some sort of practice that takes years and years and years of consistent training to really get into it is a new thing. And I really hesitated to sign up for the course through Damo Mitchell in his school. But eventually I was like, no, this is something for me that I really like resonate with this. And so I've been really diving into these meditations and what he's been sharing there, which has been really cool. And yeah, that dovetails with the sort of Taoist philosophy of these concepts of Wu Wei and Zen. And then, you know, the DMT being such thing about surrender and ultimately getting out of my own way or getting out of our own way, you know, is kind of the way. Basically, you know, it's kind of like Ram Dass used to say, like, you have to become somebody before you can become nobody. And so anybody who's listening to this and is, you know, 25, 30, 35 or older, we've become somebody and now it's time to become nobody. And I don't think that means like shedding all semblance of identity or anything like that. But there's a lot of shit we've sort of piled in ourselves and onto what our self-concept is and how we present ourselves that ultimately we would be highly benefited from letting go of. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to unburden myself, both for myself, but also I've clearly seen the more I do that, the better partner I am in relationship. The more I do that, I know I'm going to be a better father, a better friend, a better teacher, a better coach, whatever, you know, whoever and however I'm interacting in the world, the more I can get out of my own way, clear out this unnecessary stuff. I'm just a clearer channel and a more compassionate, caring, thoughtful and aware and conscious being. And the magic that comes with that sort of awareness, you know, in the world is beautiful. And even though it's not an easy path, it makes it very much worthwhile, I think. So yeah, all these things, you know, I guess coincidentally and not coincidentally, is what the Mindful Endurance Program is kind of all about. You know, it can be about an athletic goal. It can be about becoming healthier. It can also be about developing, you know, training for your mind and body. It can be about integrating your inner child or in, you know, reinvigorating your energy system, you know, through like the Nei Gong and Qigong type of stuff. And it all takes, you know, they say life is a marathon, right? So we're all endurance human beings. Many of us are athletes. And so, yeah, trying to like put together, you know, it's not a real program in a sense, but ultimately kind of reframing how we go about mindfulness, how we go about sports and movement, and using these beautiful, amazing tools to grow and learn and connect as deeply as possible, if you want to. That's the invitation anyways. But I find the more I allow myself to sink into these areas, the richer and more enjoyable my life is, and the more I am excited about the unknown potential of whatever is going to unfold next. So yeah, that's kind of a bit of a summary of what's been going on with myself these last few months, when these different components and how that sort of works with MEP and what's going on with the brand and the podcast to come. You know, since the race, I guess I can touch on that because I find that was an interesting experience as well. A few days after the race, I found myself kind of spiraling. You know, I knew it would be a physical drain on the body to do something like this, but I didn't anticipate the emotional toll that it would take, especially as I've been working to become more sensitive and feel more, and then to go through something so intense on many levels. You know, not to get into all the other layers of life, but, you know, I had a handful of huge things happening in my life. And with the last few weeks leading up to the race, it was easy to put them on the back burner and focus on the race. And that made sense. But then as soon as that was done, it was like a tidal wave of stressful life things were waiting to swallow me up after that. And I was in a sort of depleted state. So it was easy to kind of get sucked into that. And I'd say a solid like 4 weeks after the race, I was in a bit of a, I would say like a mild depression, honestly, not feeling great, navigating it better than I would have in the past, but it was a struggle. It was a struggle of a time for me, certainly, but also learning a lot as well. Some of the choices I made that were less than optimal and some of the ones that I was really proud of myself for, nurturing myself and coming out of that in a relatively efficient way, I guess. You know, definitely leaning into meditation and reading and some of the more gentler practices, and having great allies like my acupuncturist and this other somatic healer I met in LA, and my men's group, which I've been in for 2.5 years now, actually, which is pretty crazy. But, and I think it's easy to take for granted when it's a weekly call, but being in that group and having that support is such a blessing. I just feel so grateful for the men that are in the group now that have come and gone and been a part of it. And the opportunity to and be a part of it myself has been amazing. So yeah, that post-race depression was quite real. And I feel super grateful now. I'm feeling a lot better physically and emotionally for sure. And I'll kind of share what's happened since then. But I'm also, you know, I've had some downtime and I'm just starting to get back into training this week. And, you know, we've got the first MEP retreat, which is at the end of June. So it's about 2 weeks away, and it's going to be cycling and breath work and meditation and sharing connection, all sorts of stuff in this beautiful property in Marin in NorCal. So my focus is going to be just on building up some cycling legs and lungs for the next couple weeks. And then from there, I think I will start to refocus back into the triathlon space. Right now I have a 70.3 in early December, the Indian Wells race, which I certainly am targeting and intending to do. with a few shorter races in between, a couple Olympics, and I've definitely got my eye on a couple like Xterra triathlons, which are like off-road triathlons. So you swim in the ocean, you do some mountain biking, and then you do a trail run. And that sounds pretty fun as well. So yeah, getting into racing, honestly, is really fun. It's a lot more fun than I expected it would be or remembered it being from the racing I did running 6 or so years ago. But it's really cool. It's a beautiful atmosphere. You know, everyone is there is just bringing awesome energy. So if you're, you know, training regularly and thinking about doing a race, do it. Sign up for it. Like, it's going to give you something you cannot get training by yourself. And having a goal to work towards is invaluable as well. In the sense of accomplishment, pushing yourself, there's just so many things. I almost am like, damn, I should have been doing some kind of racing before, but you know, things just had to unfold as they had to unfold. And now I get to do it now. And I'm super grateful for that and excited. So Indian Wells in December on the 70.3 front is my, I guess, a race now of the year. In between then, I'm going to be renovating the house that I just moved into with Natalie. We're going to be having a little boy in August. And so there's not going to be no challenges involved with this, but my aim is to break that sub 5 hour marker in that race. And I feel pretty good about it. Honestly, I feel pretty good about it, but you never know what's going to happen. But I'm excited to get on the bike. I'm excited to explore some of these mountains about where I'm living now. I'm excited for the retreat to come, the new season of this podcast with some awesome guests. And yeah, some projects with MEP that I'm not going to quite announce yet, but are really exciting for the next 8 to 12 months on the product front. Some collection capsule collaboration stuff with pretty much would be my top two brand to work with. So I'll just leave it at that and say I'm pretty psyched about this opportunity. And the other one I'm also really excited about. So yeah, some really cool stuff on the way. And really grateful for some of the brands that have, you know, trusted and got involved with what I'm doing so far. And hopefully as the podcasts roll out and the retreats roll out, there's going to be more to come as well. I guess beyond the cycling retreat, I'm also going to be hosting at least one running and breathwork workshop with Myo Detox in Los Angeles. And hopefully that will turn into more of a regular thing as well. So yeah, super excited about the partners that are believing in me and giving me space. And honestly, this might sound lame, but I'm proud of myself for going for it and, you know, trying to do some stuff I've never done before and live life and experience life as fully as I can. And that doesn't mean just going hard all the time. That's also going soft a lot of the time. And there's great beauty in that as well, which I'm super grateful to have discovered on a deeper level more recently. So anyone who is interested more in this kind of Neigong internal Taoist alchemy work, check out Damo Mitchell. He's got a bunch of podcasts on Apple Podcasts, a bunch of stuff on YouTube, and then he's got a online school and course program. I think this guy is awesome. He's got a beautiful sense of humor, but his communication and teaching is very clear. And I'm so excited by the stuff he's teaching. And it like goes a zillion levels beyond what I can even comprehend. But even as somebody just starting out, it's really interesting. It's really deep and beautiful. And also like ancient wisdom as far as humans go. You know, it's wild to me as I've got into this more Taoist philosophy, like how much wisdom there was, you know, 3,000 years ago that we have completely thrown out the window, unfortunately. So hopefully we can all kind of come back to that more and more in the future. So The other thing with MEP is that my newsletter has gone onto Substack. So I'm doing a twice a month about cadence on Substack. You can subscribe for free. I'm doing, you know, product reviews. I'm doing some short podcast episodes that are sort of 10 to 20 minutes there on specific topics, sharing things that have been going on, updates on workshops and retreats, and linking out to some of my just, you know, favorite podcasts, films, and products that I've been discovering along the way. So sounds like a lot of stuff, and feels like a lot of stuff as well. I'm super excited to get back into regular podcasts as well. I really enjoy it. Really excited for conversations coming up, and hopefully to share them with anyone who's interested in listening too. So thank you again. I'll be back soon. And that's where I'm going to leave it for now. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Whether you listen to it on Spotify, Apple, or through our website, it would be great to hear your feedback and thoughts. If you're able to leave a review, it'll really help us share the message and share the podcast with more people. Thank you.